Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Matthew again as we're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount series. And we're going to look at three particular verses tonight found in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. You remember Jesus has gathered his disciples together and he's taken them into the mount and he is teaching them about his kingdom. He is teaching them his word, his truth. And when we get to verses 21 through 23, Jesus is dealing specifically about entrance into his kingdom. I don't know if you've ever traveled in another country and you have ever had to go through some of the stations to get into their country, but it is a very eerie feeling if you ever travel abroad and they look at your visa. I never will forget when I was in Russia, in Moscow, and the guard there had my visa. And I was wondering why I was holding it up so long. But after I come to discover that they look over that visa very carefully and they look at you and they compare your hair color, everything about you to that visa before they will let you into their country. And as you stand there, you sort of get an eerie feeling because they're going to make sure that you're really you before they let you in. And come to find out, as we would travel down some of the streets, they told us not to travel by ourselves, but to travel in pairs, and come to find out that on the black market, a passport is worth about $15,000, $5,000 to $15,000. And so if you lose your passport, you're stuck or you're going to have real problems. Well, I say all that to say this. There is someone who determines entrance into the kingdom. You know, it's amazing, and you've heard me say it enough, it's amazing how many people say things about how you get into the kingdom of heaven. But I want you to look in the very verses that we're going to be looking at tonight, because from the beginning of eternity, God has always been in charge of his world. You know, people will say all sorts of things about this world, but here's the reality. God has always been in charge of his world. He's going to always be in charge. Men are going to say what they want to say, believe what they want to believe. But here's the reality about every man. They're going to live and they're going to die. Rulers are going to come on the scenes. They're going to live, they're going to say something, and then they're going to die. And so, you know, man can act as though he's in authority, and man can say that if I just do this, then I'll be entered into the kingdom of God. But there's only one problem with that. You and I are not the king of the kingdom. In other words, there is one who is the king of his kingdom, and he alone makes it his business, takes ample time in his word so that you will not be mistaken as to the key characteristics or the qualifications for entrance into that city. I came to realize as I was standing in front of that guard and I had paid the way, I'd flown all the way from Lexington to Moscow, and I realized that there was one man who had the say-so of whether I entered into the country or I did not. There was one man that determined whether I was allowed into Russia or I was not. And the truth about it is, you and I may live on this life, and we may hear a lot of people say a lot of things, but you and I need to back up, and we always need to realize this, that the Lord God is the king of his kingdom, and nobody but him determines entrance. And so Jesus is speaking to his disciples in verses 21 through 23, and Jesus is making it fundamentally clear whenever he speaks to his disciples that there have been, already off the scenes now, there are now and there will be many who claim to have some type of relationship, and I want to try to deal with it as specifically as I can tonight because there are many that believe they're saved and they're not. There are many who believe they are possessors of eternal life and they're not. And so Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and again, you and I need to remember, he's always been the king of his kingdom. He is the one who sets requirements for entrance into his kingdom. And there is nobody else but the sovereign God who determines that. And that makes sense. You know, mankind can say all that he wants, but here is something you don't do. You're not the king of the kingdom. You don't rule heaven. Only one rules heaven, and only one has the right to determine the key ingredients to entrance into the kingdom. So I want you to listen to verse 21 through 23, and I'm going to read it both out of the King James and then the Living Bible. And listen, these are the very words of Jesus, God in the flesh. Now, these are the words of the authority of the universe. So whenever you listen to Jesus say something, here's what he says: heaven and earth will pass away, but my words that come out of my mouth, they will never pass away. They will last for all of eternity. So listen to what he says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, now, this is painting a picture in the future, notice. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then in verse 21 through 23 of the Living Bible, not all who sound religious are really godly people. They may refer to me as Lord, but still won't get to heaven. For the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. At the judgment, many will tell me, Lord, Lord, we told others about you, and used your name to cast out demons and to do many other great miracles. But I will reply, you have never been mine. Go away, for your deeds are evil. Now, when you look in this passage of Scripture, I want you to follow along because we're going to go through it as meticulously as we can, because here's the reality. Wouldn't it be horrible if you stood at the gates of the kingdom of heaven and you was not allowed entrance into heaven? Now, that's exactly what Jesus is painting a picture of, because he is saying to his disciples, I want to tell you about a future time and a future event that is going to happen. Jesus says this is going to take place. There are going to be real people, real men and real women out of probably every century on the face of the earth, and they're going to stand before me. But what is most intriguing is this. Jesus makes it very clear that they really believe that they are going to enter into heaven. So first of all, notice this. Number one, there is a law established for entrance into the kingdom. If you look in verse 21, the Bible makes it very clear that there is a law established by Holy God. It is a law that is his law. It is established by him. It is in the very heart of God, and it's the basis for entering into the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. In other words, you know, we cannot, we may pretend and we can't comprehend with our small minds what heaven is like, what the kingdom of heaven is like, and we can't comprehend of what that kingdom is. But here's what I really believe in my own heart. In a kingdom, there are buildings. In a kingdom, there's all sorts of activity. And this idea that heaven is a white, ethereal place, in my humble opinion, is the furthest thing from the accurate truth of Scripture, because the Bible talks about it being a place of splendor, a place of beauty, a place of color, a place of grandeur. So, you know, you think of any kingdom, if you went to the United Kingdom, you would find in the United Kingdom, you'd find those who were there, their activity, buildings, and so forth. And so Jesus is saying this. He said, I have a kingdom, and that his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's of another world. And so, you know, the Bible makes it very clear that, you know, we couldn't put into our mind what is in that kingdom. But here's the very simple fact. Since all who enter heaven, the Bible says, will pass through a narrow gate, there is a requirement to pass through that gate. You remember what Jesus said in another place. He said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. And so, you know, Jesus doesn't present a symbolic picture of a gate. I'll be honest with you, I used to think that the idea of a gate was symbolic because we can't see it. But the older I get and the more I study, I believe it's a very real gate, because whenever you go into a country, here's the reality. There is a gate protecting those who are not permitted into that country. They don't have the proper credentials. And so here's the reality. For you to be entered into, you to have entrance into the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't matter who you are, how old you've been, how old you are, how long you've been a member of a church. Jesus makes it very clear that there are legitimate qualifications for entrance into that kingdom. Now, you know, if you, like I said, you present a visa or a passport to get into another country. And so it really is the desire of the devil that you overlook the requirement. Now, think about this for a moment. Suppose I had boarded the plane. Suppose I had traveled all the way to Russia and I didn't have my passport. Well, you say, well, they would understand you paid all that money. I would have been standing there to this day. I would not have entrance into that nation. And here is the reality. Satan wants you and me to bypass the requirements because that is the essential ingredient for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So I want you to follow along. First and foremost, more is required than just calling Jesus Lord. Listen to what he says. Now Jesus says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord. In other words, they have used their mouth, and evidently from the overflow of their mouth, they really believe that they possess something. As a matter of fact, I was reading statistics just earlier today. Do you know that about 50 to 70% of evangelicals believe there is another way to heaven other than Jesus Christ? Notice I didn't say lost people. 50% of evangelicals believe there's another way into heaven other than Jesus Christ. And so Jesus insinuates in his very word that there will be a time when there will be many. And the word many means massive amount, huge amount. And this isn't people who are necessarily living a wicked life in their own eyes. These probably are church attenders. These probably are those who go to church from time to time. And so, you know, these are those who are saying, Lord. And they have to believe that, you know, for them to say, Lord, they have to believe something is in their own heart. And, you know, those claim the lordship of Jesus may well, first of all, be deceived by Satan himself, because you can't believe something without being deceived by it. And so there's a belief in themselves that they are saved. I don't know about you, but it would have been a horrible thing. And I know of some people who said this has happened. You know, a person has colored their hair and they present their visa before the guard, and all of a sudden they're not granted, all because they changed the color of their hair. Folks, it's going to be serious business when it comes time for entrance into the kingdom. It's going to be serious business because it's going to mean you and your complete eternity. And so, you know, there's a belief, and Jesus said this is a futuristic reality. You know, Jesus makes it very sobering in his words that there are going to be some who say, Lord. And so Jesus is saying words are not going to be enough. If you say Jesus is Lord, that's not the proof you're saved. If you go to church on Sunday, that's not the proof you're saved. If you go to church on Sunday and Sunday night, that's not the proof you're saved. And he goes on to talk about the proof, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. And, you know, whether a person sings the songs of God, you know, whether a person, you know, and there, I'm sure that today that there are many who are in hell who have sung the songs, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, or who have sung the song, Trust and Obey, who have sung the song, Just As I Am. And so, you know, it's a sobering thing to think that a church member, it's a sobering thing to think that a pastor, it's a sobering thing to think that a person can be deceived to the point that he thinks he is in, but that's exactly and precisely what Jesus says in his very words. He says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Well, you might say, well, how do you determine whether a person's in? I'll share that in just a moment. But second of all, notice this. More is required than simply doing works in the name of Jesus. Now, we live in a time in a, where many people are doing a lot of good things in the name of religion. Feeding the poor, going on trips, going on mission trips, traveling abroad, helping people in other countries by traveling abroad, and so forth. And there is nothing at all wrong with that. But I want to get back to the reality. Jesus is saying the requirement for entrance into the kingdom. You see, you are, and I am, going to leave this world someday, and there is going to be one who determines entrance into his kingdom, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, those to whom Jesus is referring in verse 22, they're not the outcast type people. They're not the rejected people. They're not the street people. But literally, they're highly religious people. The essence of the verse is that there's a sense that these people want to effect change. And I know there's a lot of folks who are religious. They really want to make a difference. But Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth, there is going to come a time when those will stand in my presence and will be deceived in themselves, and they will say to me, Lord, they have believed in their mind they're right with God, and the reality is they're so deceived that they're doomed. It is possible to be so deceived that you're doomed. Because Jesus said it's going to happen. Jesus isn't saying it might happen, maybe happen, possibly happen. Jesus says this is an actual event getting ready, going to take place. And so there'll be those who stand before Jesus in judgment. And they'll question him probably about his accuracy. Lord, are you really right about your judgment? Because you notice what Jesus said, they'll say to him, now we've done wonderful works in your name. Follow along real carefully. Many will say to me, now I want you to get the picture. I want you to imagine you saying to Jesus, you got it wrong. That's really, in essence, what people are going to say. Jesus, you've got it all wrong. Why does a person get to the point of believing that Jesus is completely wrong and they're completely right? Because they're the authority about life and eternal life. You see, there are some people who, this isn't God's book. This is just, it's all right in some things. But have you ever noticed somebody say, well, you know, I know the Bible says this, but here's what I believe. Listen to that statement again. Here's what the Bible says, but here's what I believe. Okay, here's what the divine, authoritative, unchanging word of holy God says, but I, mere mortal human being, I say this, and my word trumps the word of God. Now, that no one would say that openly, but that's exactly what is being said. And so there will be those who stand before Jesus in judgment and will question, in a sense, question him. You got it all wrong. You know, and you remember that that's not foreign to Scripture. You remember Jesus came to the disciples and he told the disciples, one of you is going to betray me. And he came to, to all of them, and he told them it'd be Judas. And Peter said, you count on me, I'm never going to leave you. I'll die before I deny you. And Jesus said to Peter, you don't know what you're talking about. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And you remember Peter said, I won't ever. In other words, Peter insinuated, Jesus, you got it wrong. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. Jesus won't argue with you. He simply states what is. He simply declares, this is the way that it is. I noticed this whenever I was standing before the guard. He didn't rant and rave or anything like that. He just held the passport, looked at my picture, looked at me. Looked at the passport, looked at me. And I thought, man, I hope I look as close to that as I possibly can because I'd heard so many war stories about it. But here's the reality. according to them. Watch what it says. Look in verse 22. They had prophesied. Now, the word prophesied means proclaimed, or they had foretold. They had done some works of God. That's really what the word prophesied. We've done some works of God. And not only done works of God, there's another thing. He said, cast out demons. You remember what, in other words, Lord, we have exorcised demons. You know we're saved. We can't stand demons. We have exorcised demons out of people. Years ago, there was a movie, The Exorcist. I never saw it, never wanted to see it, after all the people that I heard got sick that did go and see it. But here's the reality. These are people who seem to appear to oppose evil, and they themselves are being deceived by the evil one as well. And you see, the reality is, you know, Jesus said, you've done wonderful, they pronounced they've done wonderful works. And I want to say this. Here's the point. You can live a highly religious life and die lost. You can live a very religious life in the name of some religion and then die without Christ. And a lost person can look saved according to Jesus' words. You said, now, wait a minute, a lost person? Yes. And I'll show you how in just a little bit. But a lost person can look to others very spiritual. They can look very oriented to missions or ministry. And the reality is many will miss heaven by doing works for Jesus, but they never had a relationship. And the relationship is found in the new birth experience. You remember Jesus said, unless a man be born again, born from above. What does it mean to be born from above? Let me just simply state it. To be born from above means that you have a new nature on the inside of you. You have the nature of Jesus Christ. The nature of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, you can't hate. You can't want to hate. Now listen carefully. Listen. You can have those moments when you're pretty upset and pretty, but you can't live with that in your heart. Why? Because the nature of Jesus is not hate. The nature of Jesus is it cannot be a hateful nature. You cannot be hateful natured and have the nature of Jesus living on the inside of you. Let me give you an example. When Jesus Christ comes to live on the inside of you, he gives you a new nature. Amen? Yes? Okay, that new nature is like the nature of Jesus Christ, right? Just nod your head if you agree. That new nature is like, tell me how hateful Jesus was. He wasn't. I mean, he was abused, he was mistreated, all those things. He gives you a divine nature. You can't explain why you do some things the way you do. I mean, you can't explain why you respond to some things the way you do. Yes, you get miffed. We all have bad days. Matter of fact, I sort of had part of a bad day today. I was supposed to get our carpet cleaned today, and anyway, it wasn't supposed to be today, it's supposed to be tomorrow, and anyway, and I almost got miffed. You know what I'm talking about. But then I had to catch myself. And the Lord just said, watch out. Be careful. But here's what happens. When you sin, there is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you, guarding you, protecting you, saying, guard yourself, watch yourself. Now, Jesus makes it very clear that there are going to be those who literally say, you know, they've done things in the name of Jesus. And third of all, notice something else. Profession alone will prove to be damning. Watch what it says. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? In other words, professing leads to eternal doom. Folks, there's no nice way to put it, because dying without Jesus is hell. There's no nice way to put it. You know, we think about, well, God loves everybody, and God wants everybody to be saved, and that's absolutely true. But let me ask you a question. If a person doesn't want Jesus, should Jesus make them go to heaven? If a person doesn't want Jesus, should he make them be saved? No, he won't ever do that. If a person doesn't want Jesus, he'll just let them live their life not having Jesus. He'll let them face death not having Jesus, and then they'll face eternity never knowing Jesus. I was thinking about this just the other day, and my mind sort of got caught in a sort of a circle. Imagine knowing you'll never have a good day for all of eternity. Can you imagine the thought of never having a good day forever? I mean, never seeing a sunshine, never seeing brightness, never seeing light, living in utter darkness. Well, Jesus said, and that's why he's telling the disciples. He said, I want to warn you. I want to tell you that there are going to be many. That's why, and I think about this from time to time. I think, Lord, so many call you by the name Lord, but where are those to stand up and say, I'll be a faithful worker, I'll be obedient, I'll be loving, I'll be kind? Well, the reality is, you're going to find that more are lost than what we want to admit. And, you know, when a person goes through life acting, pretending to be something, here's the reality. At the end of this life and at the entrance of the next one, you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say what you will. I can say what I will, but he knows the truth inside, from top to bottom, inside and out. And so, you know, there's a facade over those who profess. And that's the case of those who are professors. And here's the thing about it. If a person likes to talk about religion and never wants to say a word about Christ, watch this. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, you know what, I go to this church and I go to that church and we do this and we do that. Well, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Well, you know, yeah. Listen, how can you be godly and not have Jesus? There is something radically wrong when somebody wants to talk about religious stuff and never talk about Jesus. Because, listen, there's only one person that changes you and me from the inside out, and that is Jesus Christ. Well, look at the law of truth governing the entrance into heaven. Since Jesus was God in the flesh, and his word is final, listen to what he says about all who are pretenders. Now, let me just say this. Jesus doesn't debate his words because authority is final. Let me give you an example. Have you ever got pulled over? Don't answer that. You know, here you are, you're traveling down the road, and all of a sudden, you know, there is this wonderful policeman comes up behind you. Have you ever noticed he just comes up beside you, and he just starts ranting and raving and ranting and raving and ranting? No. May I see your license, please? Very calm, very controlled, and you're trying to find your license. You know, you're trying to find your license and registration, And then he might say, would you get out of your car and come back here with me for a moment, please? And he may say, sir or ma'am, why was you doing, you know, 20 miles or 30 miles or 15 miles or 50 miles over the speed limit? But here's my point. The authority knows he's the authority. You get upset, and I get upset, because we know those blue lights mean authority. We know those blue lights mean serious business. He's not coming to ask you the time of day. He's coming to tell you you've done something you shouldn't do. And here's the reality of Jesus. Jesus' words will just be very simple, but very profound and very eternal. Watch what happens. You know, God can speak nothing but truth. Jesus says nothing but truth. And so, first of all, here's the announcement. I never knew you. Watch what it says. In verse 23, Jesus says, I will profess to them. In other words, I will declare to those who are standing before me, who have made all of this, they've gone through the dissertation of what they have done in my name. They have gone through why I should let them in. He said, I will tell them the truth, because the truth always is the outflow of Jesus, because Jesus is truth. I never knew you. Now, I want to ask you a question. If Jesus stood here in the front of this sanctuary in a very literal form and looked over all of our lives, would he say about you, I never knew you? You see, here's the reality. He knows who is his own. And you see, the evidence of wonderful works is not a sign of salvation. The evidence of doing good things, the evidence of holding a songbook in your hand, the evidence of singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, that's not the reality. Jesus makes it very clear. Romans 10, 9, and 10. I want you to turn to Romans 10, 9, and 10 for a moment. Because this is the way that you become a legitimate child of God and you're a permitted entrance into the kingdom of heaven when that time comes. Look what it says in Romans 10, 9, and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now here's the sobering reality. Just as a king banishes those who are not qualified to enter into his kingdom out of his kingdom, here's what Jesus will simply do. He will banish those that are not a part of his kingdom. The Bible says, second of all, he'll say, depart from me. You know, it's a word of banishment. And nobody wants to be banished. Can you imagine going to some type of gathering and maybe some person came up to you and they said, may I see your ticket? And you have no ticket, and they escort you out and they lock the door behind you. And can you imagine the horror of that? And, of course, that'd just be a physical scenario. But Jesus makes it very clear that is, listen to the words, if it doesn't happen, Jesus has lied. If what I'm telling you does not happen, Jesus has lied, and he's either one or two things. He's either a liar or he's the Lord. Or someone said it best, if he's not a liar or the Lord, he's a lunatic, because he's saying a lot of things that are not true if they don't come to pass. Well, Jesus' word is always true. But he says, second of all, he says, I will pronounce to those people, and Jesus is saying this is a future event. It is going to happen. He says, I will announce to them banished. It is a term meaning never, never to be in the presence, his presence again. I don't know how it's going to happen, but in my mind, I've sort of had this idea. Now, I don't think it's too far off base, but I can just imagine person after person after person standing before Jesus, and they're telling Jesus why they should get into heaven. And then he says the word, depart. And when he says the word, depart, they all vanish out of his sight. And they wake up in hell. Why? Because not that he's being harsh, not that Jesus is being hard, but he's simply saying, you were never a legitimate child of God. Now, I want to remind you who's going to be there. There are going to be preachers that are going to be there. Are there going to be preachers that are going to be there? Oh, yes. There's preachers who don't believe salvation comes by grace through faith. There are preachers who don't believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, they may not believe it, but there's only one entrance into the kingdom. So he says, second of all, he's going to announce to them, depart. And, you know, never to know another day. And I can't comprehend going to hell. I really can't. Of course, number one, I ain't going. You know, you ever heard somebody say in a derogatory way, and I don't mean for you to be spiteful or mean to someone, but if someone says to you, said, why don't you just go to, if you're a child of God, you say, I'm sorry, I can't. Because you can't. If you're a child of God, you cannot because you're, why? Because Jesus Christ lives on the inside of your being. When God looks at you, he sees the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins have been paid for, and so God sees you as his child. So look at the third truth that he announces. You that work iniquity. To do religion and to ignore God, who is the source of all religion, to ignore Jesus, is the height of wickedness. You know, I believe in being good. Well, what about Jesus Christ? Well, don't want to talk about Jesus. I believe, we need to help people out. Okay, help people out. Let's talk about Jesus. Don't want to talk about Jesus. Jesus says, to those who are banished, you are ones who work iniquity. And that's why you hear me preach, and seem like I preached it more as of late. Guard who you listen to. There are preachers who are lying, but here's the reality about it. They're deceived themselves, and they don't believe they're lying. They don't believe they're telling falsehoods. They're just telling what they know. Listen, the Bible says, without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now, all who work some form of religion, Jesus says in the last phrase, he says, I never knew you. Imagine the sobering thought. And I want you to listen to me real carefully in closing. I really believe one of the reasons why God allows some people to have wealth and fame and fortune, this life's all it is for them. So they can have all the wealth, all the fame, and all the fortune because it's over. After this life is over. It's not over, but it's over as far as anything good, wonderful, or positive. And God is such a gracious God that if a person's going to, all they want is money in this lifetime, he'll let them make all the money they want. And then they've rejected him and they don't want him. I can't imagine how Jesus must feel having to cast away his crowning creation. Imagine having to do something horrendous to something that you love. But listen to me very carefully. Jesus is holy. And if a person don't want Jesus, he won't make them. And that's the reality. What's going to happen? Jesus says this is going to be what's going to take place. This is going to happen. Remember, if it don't, then you've got to say Jesus lied. If this does not happen, Matthew 7:21-23, you've got to say, Jesus, you have led millions astray, and you're not truthful. But that's not going to be the way it is. It's going to be precisely the way it is. Church members are going to be lying by the numbers. Preachers, teachers, because they were religious, but they never had Jesus Christ in their heart. I hope you have Jesus Christ in your heart. I pray that that's the case. But maybe you're here tonight and you don't. And right now, I'm just going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye closed. We're not really going to have a time of invitation, but just going to give you opportunity right where you're sitting. Maybe you want to invite Christ into your heart. Maybe some who will listen to this through some other means. You can have eternal life. That's a gift God wants to give to you. Here is how you receive it. By simply praying a prayer, something like this. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that if I died right now, I would miss heaven. Lord Jesus, I ask you, I invite you to come into my heart. I repent of my sins. I turn away from my sins. And I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, I pray. And Father, thank you so much that you'll always tell us the truth. Lord Jesus, you said it's going to be a sobering day. You've already told us what it's going to be like. Those who prophesy, those who do good works, those who are religious, those who go to church, there's going to be many that's going to miss heaven because they have believed there's another way other than Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those who may have prayed this prayer, maybe sitting here or others who will be listening to this at some other time. Lord, draw all whom you would to yourself through the gift of salvation. It's free. It's already been paid for by the blood of Christ. And Father, thank you for this time to open and study your word. Now, Father, dismiss us with your tender grace and your tender mercy. In Jesus we pray. Amen.